The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader. Want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 8th day of November, 2013. The Dow is up 85, the S&P up 14, NASDAQ up 52, gold down $23, crude up 31 cents a barrel. Happy Friday. This is the day we all work for, right? Now let me ask you, which do you enjoy more, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? It's not a trick question. But there was a song when I was a younger man about working for the weekend. Everybody is working for the... Now, of the weekend, we tend to look at the weekend, I think, as Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday. That's the weekend. But this is a personal question for you. When do you reach the point that you're no longer happy and ecstatic because it's the weekend, and you cross that unseen line where you now start to be concerned about what Monday brings? Think about that for a moment. I bet you every one of us, like some giant sundial, that when the sun, it's probably on Saturday at some point for most folks. Some of us are lucky. It doesn't come until Sunday afternoon. You know, Sunday afternoon we realize, man, weekend has already flown by. Time to fix dinner and go to bed. start the week over again. But for others, you know, we can barely get through Friday night, and then just waking up Saturday morning, you know, if we get up early, we lose the luxury of sleeping in, right? If we sleep in, then we get up a little bit late, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, and we feel guilty because we wasted some of our free time that we weren't required to work. Quite the conundrum. As this weekend comes and goes, between now and when we talk again next Monday, I'd like you to watch that sundial in your life, in your weekend, and see what day it falls on, and see what day you might be able to change it to. If it's Friday, can you push it up to Saturday? Yeah, for some of us, it's Friday night before you even go to bed. Can you push it up to Saturday? Can you push it up to Sunday? Or can you turn the entire thing around and from Friday night to Saturday afternoon to Sunday afternoon, as you're enjoying your time off, whether you sleep in or not, spending time with your family, going to church, worshiping, how about each day brings a growing expectation and anticipation of what good you'll do come Monday morning? Are you? How dare you say I don't have to dread Monday? Well, I dare say you don't have to dread Monday. There's a famous quote. I think Steve Jobs said it, but I'm not sure. Quote goes something like this. I'll Google it later for the sake of being correct. If you love what you do, you'll never work another day in your life. I think Steve Jobs said that, but he might have just been quoting someone else. If you love what you do, you'll never work another day in your life. I want to encourage each and every one of you, whether you're listening live to this radio broadcast or you're listening to the podcast after the fact, I want you to think about that. What would it be like to never work again? Because remember, if you love what you do, it's not work. What would it be like to never work again? And what would that thing be for you? I know many of you are going to raise your hand and go, oh, trading, I want to trade. And certainly it would be trading for a lot of us. What else? Think about it. It'll get you through the weekend. All right, let's go. This is the S&P 500 E-mini futures chart that I have up. If by chance, and we just hit the weekly zone at 1759/60, we have gone today from zone to zone to zone to zone. Okay? This next zone's a big leap. Okay? Have we seen them muster the forces on a Friday afternoon here lately and make the run? We have. So is it going to happen today? Can't say for sure, but I can say this for sure. If price gets above this spot, I'll be interested in this. But I'm not really interested in this. And we can get into the reasons why later in the show. But for now, I want to make sure you can see the chart. If you can't, go to the homepage at cfrn.net. On the right-hand side of the page, click that great big microphone. That'll take you to a page where you can get yourself registered. You'll be able to come every day to the radio show, see the charts, and participate in the discussion via the little chat box through the end of November. We all have to register once a month. For those who haven't registered yet for the month of November, get it done, and you're done. All right? Okay, our good word for the day comes from standby. Psalm 127 talks about the most difficult job. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. Rearing children involves establishing mutual respect and expecting cooperation. The job of parenting is the most difficult job in life. It's the challenge of guiding a child through the demands of growing up and helping that child become all he or she was created to be. The Bible provides timeless insight. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, the way he should go means according to his bent. This means we have to be students of our children's learning to recognize their God-given abilities and interests. We're also to help our children develop their strengths, as well as curb and check their weaknesses. As I said, not an easy job. Keep in mind, our Heavenly Father has that same job. Once we become students of our children and teach them right from wrong with a lot of prayer and a lot of love, then the promise of God can be realized in their life. The challenge is a great one, but the rewards of seeing our children become mature, productive adults makes all the hard work worthwhile. And that's a good word for the day. Let's go to this chart. Step with me, if you will. Okay, this is a 60-minute chart. S&P 500 E-mini futures. I suspect we have some new folks in the audience from our open house today. So if you're a first-time visitor to this radio program, we're now in our 8th year of broadcast. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. Just a little rundown on how it goes. Once we take a look at this chart real quick, Michael is going to come on and he's going to do a recap of everything that happened in the live trading room this morning. He's going to cover the trades we took, the trades we didn't take, the ones we missed, the ones we got stopped at, everything. He's just going to cover it in about 15, 20 minutes. If you go to our website, cfrn.net, you'll find a archive of every trading day for the last 2 years, over 2 years now, where we've done a video recap of exactly what happened in the live trading room, step by step. It's there for you to take a look at. You can also go out to our Twitter feed, take a look at our public Twitter timeline, and see what sort of success we've enjoyed over the last couple of years via the public tweets and trades that we put out for your inspection. All you have to do is pull up the timeline and then go look at some historic charts, and you get an idea what's going on pretty quick. But those are our track records. Those give you an idea of what we've done in the past. But you know, past performance is no guarantee of future results. A trader, unfortunately, is only as good as his last trade. It's a tough way to live, but it's the trader way, okay? Whatever happened yesterday, that's yesterday. We wake up today with a clean slate, and that's good news for some and maybe not so good for others, that it's every day we slide the marker back to zero. Now, you've been building your account over years, so you're really not going back to zero, but you understand what I mean. Each day is unique and set apart unto itself. And each day you want to make out of that day all that you can, okay? So if you're here with us for the first time, again, welcome. Glad you're here. Once Michael finishes with the recap, we'll bounce out to Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk to our friend there, Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com. Get an idea of what his look is on the market. Monday's Veterans Day, we're going to be here, okay? Michael is going to do the live trading room. I'm going to do the radio show. Chances are I'll be in the live trading room as well. Now, if in the event my wife has the day off on Monday, and I'm not sure if she does, I forgot to ask her, I might hang a message on the blog that says the radio is closed for the day. But even if she has the day off, I can still take an hour to do the show unless it involves us traveling. out of town to some romantic little hamlet up on the side of a mountain, at which point I probably won't be here. So I wish I had a better answer for you, but I think I'm going to be here Monday for the radio show. Michael will not. He'll be here for the live trading room, and I'm 99% sure. I think I would have heard about it by now if I was traveling out of town. I've been told I would have been instructed to pack a bag or something. So anyway, remember Veterans Day. Honor those who have so bravely served this country and many who have given their lives, that you and I enjoy the freedoms that we do. So even though the markets will be open and even though many of us will be working, please take some time on Monday, some quiet time, to just sit and think about all of those who gave so much so that you and I could live so free. All right, this chart that I have up here, S&P 500 E-mini futures, hourly. We had a trade yesterday on the show to be short from 51 to 48. That went off twice. There was two opportunities to trade that. And then last night we were going sideways during the partner's workshop. And I believe I said price, during the workshop we talked about price might come up, test the important area. Now for those of you that are regulars around here, this is where you're all going. You're nodding your head going, oh boy, this is where he goes. Important prices, important areas are almost always tested. Did I say that? I did. Look what happened. Our tweet was to be short, 51 to 48. It's a 3-point trade. So we had three, and we had another three. Then price crept along the weekly zone. These little bitty candles are their hours. And then the swing high of this candle exactly to the tick, 1751. I'm just kidding. I didn't make that happen. Honestly, I didn't. That's the market doing what the market does. Beautiful thing is you can learn how to read the chart. Okay? There was a question last night in the partner's workshop. Somebody specifically called me on that. They said, how did you get that number 51? And I spent about way too long, an hour, explaining how I arrived at it when I could have probably buttoned it up in about 5 minutes. But, hey, you know me. So price comes back up to 51, tests the important area, rolls over, makes the trip back down to the zone, another 3-point move to 48, all the way to the zone, okay, at 47, it's actually a 4-point move. So in actuality, we went all the way to the zone, 47, so it was 4 and 4. But the trade, the way we put it out, 51 to 48, just 3 points, I usually will put that 1 point in there as a buffer zone, just in case you've got some eager buyers sitting down here at these predetermined areas of support, and they might want to come in early. Start buying that thing up so they don't get left behind. Getting out 1 point early keeps you safe and still gives you your daily bread. Okay? Came down, consolidated here for a couple of hours at 46.47 after going back up to test the important price, an important area. We drop to the zone below at 38.39, and that's a nice little drop. Okay? 7 points. 39 to 46, or 46 to 39. Oh, it did both. It came down, gave us 7 points, and then it rallied and gave us 7 points. And then, after a little consolidation, we caught another zone-to-zone move from 47 back up to 54, 8 points. We've just made another zone-to-zone journey. Now, I want you to watch. This is what it did. I'm not making it up. This really happened. Price went like that. And then it went like this. And then it did this. I overlapped the price action with my drawing. Okay? But think about this. And it's that same pattern over and over and over. That's your moneymaker right there. Use that pattern to get you from zone to zone. You'll be fine. Just fine. All right, here we sit, 5960. We have to ask ourselves a question, and that is, well, the market is asking itself a question right now. What are we going to do? Do we have enough resources to take this thing up to the next zone? First, it's got to get through this area, and then onto the zone. Or is it Friday? We've had a big week. We're going to rest a little bit, and we catch a retracement back down to this 54, 55. We've had virtually no retracement this morning, very slight. If I pull fibs from the low of the day to the high of the day, and that's the current high of the day, we don't know that it's the high of the day, a 24% retracement would bring us right back to 54.55, which is the weekly trading zone. Okay? So if we find good resistance here, if the market stops climbing and takes a breather, we would expect price to at least pull back into this 54.55 area, which would then give us an opportunity. We've already had the opportunity. We went up to the zone, came back down to the zone, went back up to the zone. See, we opened here, went down, and then we made our move up. Okay, then we opened here, and we've traveled, got a swing low on this candle. Now, this is hourly of 1757. Okay, so let's let this candle complete. It's going to take 30 minutes. 30 minutes from now, 34 minutes, we'll know exactly what we want to do. Do we want to try to get long up into this area, or are we going to trade it back down to 55, 54? So far this week, we've had some very nice trades during the radio show, the ones that I've tweeted out live during the show. They've turned out very well for us. We've had multiple opportunities off of some of them. I'll put a trade out today if there's one available. I won't just make one up. Yesterday during the after show, we were looking at a couple of different charts. We did have, this is not the one I'm looking. I'm looking for the yen. We had a trade yesterday, and this one went off during the show. We 10195 to 10205. Okay, this happened at 11 o'clock Mountain Time. Okay, we had a move from 10195 to 10205. And then last night, we had one of our traders, Alex, in the partners meeting. He sent me a message. We had been talking about how to determine, or the question was, will you show us how you go about setting up the bigger picture tweets? And I went through the explanation on the S&P, and Alex came back and says, well, so then based on what you're saying is that we would want to sell 10178, or I believe was the number he gave me, on the yen. And I said, yeah, I like that, but let's shave another couple points. I think we took it down to 76. So it gave us an 11-point move back to the zone. And if you shaved a point off here, it still gave you your 10 ticks for the day. The yen pays $12.50 per tick, so that's $125 per contract traded. And sure enough, price came right down through that number last night and just made a beeline right for the zone. To the next zone. To the next zone. So just as we've covered multiple zones on the way up today in the S&P, this inverse relationship with the yen, 1, 2, 3 zones, and now bouncing. Okay? Is that the lowest weekly zone we have on the yen this week? 10.085. No, there's actually one zone below. I don't suspect we're going to see it today. It's Friday afternoon with the yen. It should get pretty quiet right there. And we've already looked at the ES. The Australian dollar, we spent some time during the after show a couple days ago dissecting the Australian dollar chart, which gave us some windows of opportunity. One was 94 to 95, or 94.55 to 94.45. That happened. Then we had another one that was 94.12 down to 93.98. That happened as well. The thing I caution you on with these, they're built off of a daily chart. So you, although we're working with small trade size, well, it's our daily goal, but the chance to have more volatility than you would expect because you're pulling it off of a daily chart and putting it inside a 10-point or 14-point slot, and I think we all saw that yesterday in this trade. Now, price came down to our very next window, but it hasn't penetrated it yet. Okay, so we'll wait and see what happens there. On the treasuries, look at this thing. And there's a drop. That may have taken out our lowest. No, it didn't. Let's see, what have I got up here? 132.28. Our lowest zone for the week is 131.22/123. That is our lowest weekly trading zone. After 132.28/132.30, the lowest zone for the week is 131.22/24. Now remember, guys, these zones go out to the partners at the beginning of the week before the market opens on Monday. Okay? So the partners have had these numbers, these zones to trade off of back and forth all week on all the different markets. This move today, that was what do they call that? A doozy? Is that a doozy, Michael?
Doozy, yeah.
And the doozy, man. Terrible. Question is this lowest weekly zone going to hold? In theory, it should. By close of business today, we should be back up above 131.24 because this is the lowest weekly zone. But I don't know. It's a pretty strong move. So let's wait and see. We'll be patient. We don't have any trades on in this area right now anyway, so. With that, Michael, I guess we'll send the camera crew over to you. And while you're recapping, we'll keep an eye on the S&P here at this weekly trading zone. And we're going to see where we close this hour to make our decision where we want to be next hour.
Excellent. All right. Sorry, I'm just reading through all this stuff. Let me grab the cameras then. All right.
Go. Hey, any of the emails that have come in, have you covered them all already?
We are covered up to right now. Everything is covered.
You sure?
Yep.
And Jerry and Harry. Okay, very good. Thank you, sir.
It's all good. All right. Look in the chat box, too. There's a little message in there, too.
Okay. Oh, the message from you to me?
Yeah, from me to you. All right. So what is looking at my spreadsheet?
Gotcha.
Yeah, she called. We've got to get that off to her in the next couple hours. Another Tesla fire. I was looking at the Tesla stock the other day. So I'm just reading that Tesla right now is trading at $136.25. Wow. It's actually up a little bit today.
Oh, another fire today.
Yeah, it's down off its high on, what day was that, 11.5. It's had a rough week this week, Tesla has. It's down from $181 to $135. It had a low right in here. It had a low today. From 185, it had a low of 132. But anyway, I don't trade equities. Make me afraid to ride in my friend's car. My friend's Tesla. Anyway, I'm going to start the recording and we'll get into this thing. Here we go. Alright, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Today is Friday, November 8th, 2013. I believe is the day that Billy Graham was born, and me. Anyway, today we had, let's go over the results first. We didn't trade all that much today. trade six times today. Okay, because I spent a lot of time doing instruction this morning. But we, well, let's see our results. We were minus 8 on the Russell and plus 18 on the soybeans. All right, minus 8 on the Russell, plus 18 on the soybeans. It took us today, it took us 112 minutes to get to our 2 points, 112 minutes and 6 trades to get to our 2 points. On the month so far, in the 6 days that we've been trading so far in November, we are up $1,445 per contract. That's gross, $1,445 per contract. The net, if you apply an $8 commission to every single trade, the net is $957 per contract. So we're still up better than 3 points a day average net, okay? Better than 3 points a day average net, and better than almost 5 points a day average gross, okay? That's where we stand on the month of November right now. Last month, we made 6,400. That put us, I think that was third place on the year, 6,400. So we've got a ways to go to get there, but we have a few weeks left to get there, too. There are some additional holidays this month. Monday is a bank holiday, but it's not a market holiday. So what that means is if you get any bank in a due, you better get it done tomorrow, today or tomorrow, because the banks are closed on Monday. Schools are closed. Banks are closed. Commodity markets are open. Right, so we will be in there trading on Monday, but I don't know what the volume is going to be like. You know, you never know what's going to happen over the weekend that could trigger something here over the weekend, some sort of pent-up things. Susan, no, we do not at this time, but we can talk in more detail about that at a later time if you would like to. All right, so those are the results. If you've not taken a free trial with us and you want to take a free trial with us, again, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get access to everything you see here, Susan. You get access to everything you see here. You get 5 luxurious days in our live trading room. You get access. You'll be sent an email that has a video in it. The video shows you how to download the charting platform, how to install the indicators. Once you get the indicators installed, shoot me an email at support@cfrn.net, and I'll send you my layout so you don't have to struggle to make your charts look like mine. You'll be able to just import my layout, and it will look just like mine. Okay? And that's all you have to do to get set up. All right? Once you're set up, you'll be sent another email at some point, probably Monday morning, telling you how to get into the live trading room. Okay, then you'll be sent a link every day using the same password that you are sent on Monday to get into the live trading room next week. Okay, using the same link, the same password all week, next week. All right, that is it. That's the free trial. Okay, in the free trial, you get access to the indicators, the charting platform. You get access to Duane and myself if you need help learning the setups or, you know, just sort of making a decision to learn the setups. You get access to the weekly trading zones through the live trading room. The only thing you really don't get access to is the partners meeting that we have every Thursday night. We had one last night that went until just after midnight. And you don't get access to the members area where we have over 300 hours of video. Okay. That's it. Let's get into the trades. Okay. Now, this morning, as I said, I did, because of the open house and because of the large number of folks that were in the live trading room this morning, I did a lot more training than I did actually trading. But we opened up in here on the crude oil. This trade right here, I didn't take this short trade right here because we didn't have any divergence down here. But this was a good example of the momentum trade that I went over last night in the partners meeting. I didn't take that, and then we had some areas that we had to get through before we were going to continue trading the crude. Once it finally did break through there, I had mentioned that we were going to have the down close over here on crude, but I had moved on to something else. Somebody asked me a question, or some other market had a trade, or something like that. Anyway, I ended up missing this trade, and that was pretty much the money to be made right there on crude today. It was, I think one of the partners got 12 ticks out of the first one, and 14 out of the second one. Something like that. There was, you know, a couple of points to be made here easily on the crude. All right, I had mentioned this one here, but again, this was one of those momentum trades. where there was not any divergence, no room to run. It changed directions. We were waiting for it to get up above this level right here. It did get up above that level, but by the time we got a close up above this this trend line, we had bearish divergence, so we couldn't trade it. Okay. Unfortunately, that was all we had in the live trading room on crude oil. You can see over here we had a bearish cross pull-up test of the BBC with a down close right here. This would have been an opportunity to short, but this was after the live trading room. Did it again right here. An opportunity to short right there. It's putting together another opportunity right at the moment. Let's see. Yeah, right in here. 94 and a quarter. Right in there you could short, short the crude again. Now what you anticipate happening is the green line is going to work its way down into the cycle. The green line is going to work its way down into the cycle. The same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Okay. So this one right here, you had the trend line up, the down close below the trend line with the bearish divergence. Okay. Let's see. Let's grab gold. Gold here. Gold is where we made the money today. Okay. In the live trading room, we made 18 ticks on gold. Let's go back to the beginning. Right back in here. Now, the 18 ticks that we made on gold does not include the 110 ticks or 120 ticks, I think is what it was, that we made in the pre-market. I had told everyone in the partners meeting last night to, if you wanted to see some real quick action in the morning, to be looking at gold when the employment rate came out. And I had drawn in these, this range here for, you know, for anyone that was in the live trading room this morning at, you know, before 8:30, it was about 8:25 when I did it. I had drawn in this range here, and I had put a buy stop above this and a sell stop below this. And from here to here took, I think it took 0.126 seconds, something like that, from here to here. And that was, I think, the first bunch. I had showed the actual executions in my trade report this morning in the live trading room. But I think from here to here it was 29 ticks or something like that, and it took point something seconds, you know, some small fraction of seconds. And we shorted again there and got it back here. And that took a few more seconds. Then I took two more trades. I didn't put them in here. I took two more losing trades that were in there, short trades. One of them lost 12 ticks, one of them lost 14 ticks, I think, or maybe one lost 12 and one lost 13 is what it was. It was 25 ticks total that I had lost. There were two losing trades. This doesn't include, you know, the live trading room results do not include any of that because that was pre-market. But once the live trading room did start up, we were looking for an up close above this box right here before we would start taking long trades on the gold. We did get the up close over here. We took a long trade, and I believe on our first trade, we ended up taking just a tick profit, I believe. The next trade, it changed directions in here. You see the cycle move down, change directions. We're looking for a down close below the trend line. We got that right in here, and I believe on that trade we took 4 ticks profit. Let's see, then the cycle started to reset in here, and it started going back and forth. We're looking for a movement up above this box, and we got that. We took a long trade in here for... long trade in here, we took... What was that? We went from 5 to 9. I think I missed that one. Anyway, we took a long trade in here for some amount of profit. It looks like we took 8 ticks profit or something like that. We took a break-even trade. Yeah, that was it. We had been plus 5, 1 to 5 to 9 to 14 to 18. So I was taking it in 4 tick increments, it looks like. Anyway, we took some profit on that one on the up close above the trend line. We tried to take more profit on this, but we ended up taking a break even on the trade. And then right at the end of the morning, we took a short trade in here, and we took 4 ticks profit on that. Now, for those of you guys that were in the live trading room, this morning, I'll draw again what I drew this morning. All right, I said this is what you anticipate: down, up, down, up. Now, that was shown down here with the slingshot, okay? You had the cycle moving down. That was the first leg down. the green line moving up is this first move up. The green line going back down to meet the cycle. Then it pulling back again. But on the pullback, the angle right here suggested that it wasn't going to go down anymore. All right? That's what that was. So that is bottoming action right here. Bottoming action. All right? So you would need price to get down below that level right there before you start looking for more short trades. And you would need it to be above this level before you start looking for long trades. All right? That was it on the gold for us. Okay? That was it on the gold on the day. So I am going to roll that back. How long is the indicator's trial in room? It's for 5 luxurious business days, Susan. All right. Jim, could I send you a copy of the spreadsheet that I used to record my trades? Also, do you know when the recording of last night's partners meeting? Oh, geez, you know what? I haven't even converted. It's converted, but I haven't loaded it to Vimeo yet. So it'll probably be later on today or maybe early tomorrow, Jim. It'll be out there. Okay. Let me erase all these drawings. Now, these are the soybeans. I can definitely send you the spreadsheet, though. Okay. These are the soybeans. Now, I told everybody this morning I had drawn all these lines in, and I had said that we would definitely be seeing the outer markers on these lines at some point today, based on the crop report that comes out at noon. We took one soybean trade right here. We ended up getting a break even on it. Then the soybeans, after the live trading room, had moved up all the way up here to this 1276 level. I had a 1284 level on here. The level above 1284 would be 1292. Did it get up to 92? 89. Yeah, it did. Right in here, 12. It got through it. The level above would have been 1292. But you can see the soybeans on the crop report just went crazy. For us, though, in the live trading room, we really didn't have that much opportunity. There was one spot right in here at 949 that I missed. It moved up nicely, came back down. I hit the BBC, but the cycle was red, so we needed an up close above the trend line. We got the up close above the trend line. I got long. I moved my stop up to break even and got stopped out of break even. All right. So that was it on the soybeans today. If you look at the way that things came together here with this crop report, you know, it's almost, I'm sure it was untradeable here. All this movement here was untradeable. But in here, you could have probably gotten into some trades. You see, there's a couple minutes in between all these bars down here. So there was shorting opportunity in here, shorting opportunity here, here, here. And that was it on that side. On the long side, there was a long opportunity right here and right here on the soybeans. Then everything reset. There were no trades right in here because we didn't pull away from the BBC. It went back long again, and there really wasn't anything you could do in there. Changed to short again, and right over here was a shorting opportunity right in there. Okay. So that was pretty much it on the beans today. Now, the ES had a nice ride today, a nice zone-to-zone ride. We had two spots. I was a little late on both of these, but this one right here, this down close below the trend line, which did not work in any way, shape, or form, would have been a valid short entry. Actually, if I look left, yeah, looking left is still okay. That would have been a short entry right there. It changed directions right after that entry. It changed directions and started moving up. It went zone to zone. There was a long entry right in here that I had missed. Okay. That went right up to the zone. And we got up in this area up here, and it went up to the zone above it. There's not much more we can do about that. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have? We didn't do anything with that. The copper. Copper had one entry in the morning session. It was right in here. It actually looks like my copper chart stopped working around that time. But there was one entry on the copper right in here. And we had missed that one. Okay, I didn't look at the YM all morning. But that's it. Looks like gold did continue to consolidate. Ah, you learned it from me. That's good, Pete. All right. With that, I think I'm going to wrap up my recap here. If... Hey, Mike Reed's in the Mike Reed's in the house. So we'll jump out there to Mike Reed soon. If anybody has any questions about anything, you can call us at 949-423-6464. That's 1-949-42-E-MINI. Okay. If anybody has any questions about anything, you can give us a call. Or you can email us at support@cfrn.net. If you haven't taken a free trial and you want to, go to cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. If you have taken the free trial and you want to become a partner, send us an email, give us a call. All right. If you're on the free trial and you want to become a partner, again, send us an email or give us a call. All right. With that, guys, I'm going to wrap up my recording of the recap. And we can head out to Indiana, I believe. Dwayne, we can head out to Indiana.
Boo. Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, did you cover Susan's question?
I did. In Ninja, what you would have to do, Susan... Well, the last question I did, and all the other ones I did. What you would have to do is get DT Pro. Get the charting platform, DT Pro. You can get the charting platform and the indicators from DT Pro if you become a partner. You know what? Why don't I tell you all this offline? If you become a partner, I'll tell you how to do all this stuff. All right. But you can get the charting platform, and you can chart through DT Pro, and you can trade wherever you want. All right. We do not have the indicators in Ninja. So let's save everybody the hassle of asking that. At least not yet. All right.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Hi, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
Congrats on your Red Sox.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I got to shave my beard off, finally.
Did you have one?
Yeah.
All right.
We all did. Almost every red-blooded guy out here in Massachusetts grew a beard.
I didn't know that. Well, that's being a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Red Sox Nation.
Yeah.
And Mike, well, I was telling him if the Red Sox win, I'll shave it. If they don't, you better hope the Patriots win in February.
No. Oh, wait, no. Not the Patriots. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the market.
Yeah, back to the markets.
What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, what's going on, buddy? Are we at an important area here, 5960?
I have, 16.5 is our area. We just missed that. And we had trend down kind of yesterday. Yeah, yesterday trend down. After a brand new high, 20 minutes into the day, and this just was picture perfect all day long. There was one bounce that ran into a good resistance right here at the 60. This is where it was yesterday, where they ran into this area, and then turned back down again hard. I have 38 for support on the bottom, and that was reached pre-open.
Right here.
Let me check your charts. I'm watching mine right now.
We had 38.39 as a weekly trading zone. And this area that we're at up here now, 59.60, that's one as well.
Okay.
So we traveled across three. From the low, we crossed this zone, consolidated to this one, a little consolidation, and now we're sitting up here looking left. And yesterday when they tried to rally up out of this area, they couldn't do it. They got slapped down all the way to here, a little bit of a bounce, and then all the way down to... So, yeah, I think you and I are kind of tracking the same areas there.
Yeah, I can't see your set, the area in the middle. Is that...
Oh, maybe I should take the screen.
54,
back.
50. That's Michael. No, looks like mine. Sorry. Looks like 55 area. 55.
Dwayne needs to take the screens back. It was 54, 55 was the area in the middle.
Yeah.
59, okay, 60 at the top. There, Dwayne's got the
screen. Now you can see my screen.
We're right in line this week, Dwayne.
Yeah.
I had that same spot.
Like it.
Yeah, they took that. They broke that and held that. Well, first they had 50. We had another one that 50, 51 was the first one. And, that was tested on the first bounce. But that was also, I think, a late high yesterday before the late pullback. But that was taken over. When that was blown through, it was pretty evident we're moving on to the next zone. And then that was the 55. That was the, had happened in a hurry, and then on up to 60. So yeah, I mean, a lot of times it used to be avoid the lunchtime, avoid the noontime time frame, but a lot of turning points have come around this time frame in the past few years, and won't be surprised if we get from our trend up move that we get some sort of pullback here.
Yeah, we're looking for potentially a reversal back down to 54.55.
Yeah.
And then once we hit 54.55, we've had such a strong trend up day. I wouldn't expect it to pull back any further than 54. We don't have any additional news coming out. Bernanke is speaking this afternoon, but he's just... It's not a policy type of statement. Someone told me last night, but it's a speech about, you know, how the financial crisis has affected everybody. So I don't think it's going to be anything that will affect the markets, but you never know. He's the Fed chairman, and so I'm kind of surprised that he's speaking before the markets close about anything, but he is. 3:30 today, I think's the time. Eastern.
Well, if they do happen to take that out, then be heads up, because 54 was pullback low after the run up, and also some other stuff. On the run up, the very first time it just stopped, there's a pullback, and then they went through it, and then they held it on the next pullback, and that was another transition. So there's some other stuff there too. Well, along with your support, my support. If they go back under that, I wouldn't be surprised if they go back down to the low. Dwayne, we've been all over, you know, back and forth, and another trip down. I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me if that's broken. But we'll have to see if that comes to pass. You know, the mood is flipped. This flipped the switch. Yesterday was bearish all day long, and today it's kind of been the opposite. After the early pop and drop, made a little double bottom, and then a run up. So.
We certainly quietened out here. Well, hang tight, Mike. I'm going to grab David and bring him on so he can say hi to you. I know your time is a little limited, so guys, don't touch your radio dial. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And, good morning, Michael Bort and Mike Reed and everyone.
Good morning, David.
How are
and
you,
everyone.
Mike? And everyone.
I'm doing fine. How are you, David?
The gang's all here. I got an email from Robin today. She said hi. She's been really busy.
She's been really busy, yeah.
She's going to visit someone who is sick, and she'll be out of state, but she'll maybe be back possibly next week, and if not next week, then...
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah.
She'll have interesting stories to tell.
Absolutely.
At that point, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Daily weather report.
The daily weather report. It's a beautiful day in Las Vegas.
It's everywhere.
There you go.
Okay. David, what's going on with you? Another fire in the Tesla, so you're probably pretty rocked over this, right?
Well, we talked about this yesterday, right?
What?
About the third fire in the Tesla?
Oh, I thought there was another one today.
No, I think there's three, and if there was another one today...
I guess the comment today was... Somebody was saying they had just read about it. But
yeah, and this is their third, unless I'm mistaken, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think...
No, the headline says, the headline does say third one.
Yeah. Okay, and the big thing about this, and they do have to address it publicly because their stock has taken, there's no question, their stock has taken a beating. They were up at 194, 196, they're down in the 130s. that is partially a result of their earnings report that investors weren't as crazy about, and the fact that there is clearly now, have you ever driven your car and something hits you from the underside and you hear a loud thunk under your car?
Yep.
Well, imagine that at much higher speed and with much greater force, and at least two of these three accidents are those types of things on the road. Road debris hitting underneath the car. They've got a quarter-inch steel plate there, which isn't enough, obviously. It isn't enough. There's things that can happen. They misengineered that, and that does need to be fixed. Batteries need to be very well protected, and they appear to be, and they're not. So they're going to have to make some kind of a fix for that and come out. I think the sooner the better. this is their first real public relations thing that people still love the car. The people who had the cars that caught fire still want their car back. They still want a new one. But it does put a damper, doesn't it, on the ordinary person who might be considering this. I mean, the car got the safest car in the world award, and now when things hit it from the underside, that's not something that they test. That NHTSA doesn't test that. They don't ram things into the underside of your car. They do it from every other angle.
They wouldn't do a recall on that, would they?
They could.
Yeah, they. In fact,
they certainly could.
The thing I read today said that the National Highway Safety, whatever, they're doing an official inquiry into it. So, yeah, that could lead to a recall. It could.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way, ultimately it's likely to, because every single car that's out there has that vulnerability, and it really should be taken care of. I told the story once. A nice car that I owned, I was driving down the highway at nighttime here, and just at the last split second, I saw something very dark in the road ahead of me that wasn't the road. And in other words, it's like, uh-oh, because you're going 70 miles an hour, and you don't have time to brake, and you certainly don't want to swerve. It was just laying there on the road. I don't know what it was to this day, but it did such a number on the underside of my car that when the dealer spoke to me about it later, he said that there was enough torque had been applied to this one point. He said you could drop this off of the highest building in the land and it wouldn't do this. So whatever happened on the road had enormous force, and it was the loudest sound I've ever heard. I don't know what I run over, but I ran over something that really caused a huge thing. Well, that's the kind of thing that can happen to anybody who's driving on the road. And that's why I always suggest to people that if your kids or somebody or elderly people or just anybody are going to be taking a trip, driving at night on the freeway, although it's obviously pretty safe, you're driving in one direction, there's no stoplights, intersections are the most dangerous parts on the road. The one problem with night driving is if something falls off of something else and it's in the road, a lot of accidents happen because people see it at the last minute and inadvertently or whatever, just automatically swerve their car. And at 70 miles an hour, you're going to go out of control. And I didn't swerve. I knew I had to hit the object. There was nothing left for me to do but just hit it. And it did some serious – it was like $6,000 worth of suspension damage And the car was never right after that. Even after they fixed it, it was a nice car. And after they fixed it, it still was never right.
That happened to a friend of mine. A couple, well, one was a, he had a cow.
Oh.
And the other was a couple.
Try
people.
To avoid those cows.
Indiana cows.
The Indiana
cows. Another was a word deer. Had a lot of deer run around it. If it's not deer season, they come scampering around and they got to watch out. Deer crossing and kind of stuff around here.
I used to go to Arizona and drive up a road called Lake Mary Road. Many of the people listening may know about Lake Mary Road. It's a long, twisting, very nice drive up to Pine, Arizona. And there are deer that will just walk right out in front of the – and these are curving roads. So you're, if you're doing 70 or something, zipping along, you're going to come around a curve, and there's a mother deer with three of her elk or whatever standing right in the road. So – and that happens that people will hit the deer, and it does tremendous damage to your car and to the deer, obviously. Right. So stuff happens like that, you know. So they do have to resolve this problem because it does happen to people. You will hit an object that can do a lot of damage on the underside, and, you know, you don't want to have to end your trip with a fire, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wish them the best. Of course, I love the company. I love the engineering. That's a weakness in their design. They probably said, hey, it's a quarter inch worth of steel. You know, what's going to get through that? Well, when you're going 70, 80, and 90 miles an hour and you hit something just right, it has 25 tons, 50 tons worth of force. And that is enough force to break right through it. And so there's the answer. They need to fix that. So there you are.
That's a lot of force.
That is a lot of force. It's incredible with the forces that are at work when you're driving. Moving a 4,000-pound object down the road, you're putting a lot of physics in motion.
Mass times velocity? What is that,
yeah.
Michael? I think it might be.
He would know.
I can't remember my physics classes.
I can't even remember what high school I went to.
Yeah. But
so anyway, Michael, so what about you? What do you... are you liking the markets?
Am I liking? I'm liking the action, the volatility.
Sure.
Yes. So, right now, just right now, I don't have anything at all on right at the moment, and was watching this 60 area. We had opportunity early in the day, and on the run up, well, we had an opportunity first on a pop-up to the 51 area, and then they tested the low. They held one tick above the early low after stocks opened, and then they ran up and took out that high, and that was off to the next zone. So, and then like Dwayne has the same area, basically around 60. I had 60 and a half to 61 and a half. Above here, and then 65 above that as a, but
yeah, you can, this area right here, we highlighted that, Mike, yesterday.
Oh yeah,
it's this little top. Yeah, it's not a weekly zone, but it's kind of an obvious area where if the market can get through this area, and that's the next obstacle before it goes up to challenge that high. Yeah, so.
And that's
this area right across here.
Right. So that's right around in there. That's the same spot. Yeah. I'll be surprised if they get there.
It looks like what you and I already discussed. They'll turn them back here, take it down to 54.55, which will be a 24% Fib retracement and the weekly trading zone. So. At 54.55, unless some kind of bad news comes out, I'm thinking it'll hold. We'll settle out the day somewhere between this zone and this zone. Although there have been some Fridays of late where we saw some late in the day action, so I don't ever rule anything out. You know, it's all possible. So just try to stay nimble.
Yeah, they had been liking to close them on the high on the highs for quite a while. And I think we had for a day session opens this week. I think we may have had three old fashioned gaps on the way up, and then all of them got filled, of course. But there's a bit of froth coming into the highs. I don't think they're going to go right back up there and run right back up there again. This is probably about it.
Well, David, that's what makes a market, yes.
Chirp up. What do you think?
Chirp up. Hey, chirp up, William. Well, let's see. The bigger picture for us is, and we've talked about this for a couple weeks, we thought that the week of October 28th would mark a very important top for a multi-week decline with two big targets on the downside. One of them is 1737.36, which we reached today. The other one is subscriber-based up, but I'll give it out at 1721.1720. And the first target has been reached very promptly. We actually had a trade out for this from yesterday's high when they spiked it. The failure up there at 68, because 68 is a big number for us, would be shorting territory for the decline to the initial target of 36, 37. And they reached that today, and they had a nice bounce, and they are having a nice bounce off this. And we're currently short right now in the Messenger Pro from the 60.25. Level, the 60.25 to 60.50 level is easy, I think, easy selling territory here for at least a decent tradable decline. So that's what we're doing right now with the S&P. The bigger picture, though, is that under normal conditions, we continue to see sideways to lower during November. It's not just going to end tomorrow or the next day. It continues sideways to lower into later November. And so far, they have confirmed that. Those people that have reflected wave know about this bounce. This is a reflected wave bottom. But other than these routine, ordinary bounces, the normal thing for the market to do is to continue sideways to lower into later November at lower prices. So okay. That's our outlook. So far, that has played out. That's all public stuff with people who've come to our meetings and so on trial or whatever. They have all this information, and we're hoping to see it play out just that way, because there is some chance certainly that the market is capable of having unusual behavior and so on. I mean, one thing's for sure, this market loves bad news. It goes up on bad news. When the good news comes out, sell, because it loves bad news. So and under this administration, we've had quite a bit of bad news, haven't we? So markets rallied for 5 years on bad news. I'm not sure I can name the good news in there, but there had to have been some. But almost all of it has been bad, disruptive type of news, leading right up to where we are now with the healthcare and so on, with this just debacle of people who've never run a lemonade stand thinking, dreaming, living in a completely alternate universe that they could throw together something like this and pull it off. And obviously so many mistakes and errors were made, and I don't know what to say. I don't want to get into a whole big thing about it, but it's just more proof to me that of the distance between this administration and a little known thing called reality. That if you don't have the experience and you don't have people who have the experience, then you don't have anything. And you just have your stupid vision for what you think is best for people that you're going to jam down their throats. And you're going to make that very uncomfortable for them as well. I mean, I'm just appalled, honestly, at this whole administration, the whole business of the way that the whole deceptiveness of this administration, the untruth of this administration, the hiding, the trickery, the politics. It's just disgusting. And yes, other administrations have had this, but it really is a dichotomy between what you see in the man who stands before you and looks like he's filled with energy and wants to do good, and the sneaky backbiting behind the scenes, the trickery, the even this thing that he did, which is complete untruth, to tell the public period if you like your health care plan, and we've all heard that a million times, that he has never in his entire career taken any blame for anything. This was the closest you've ever heard our president come, because he was forced to taking any blame for this. But it is even in that, there's trickery. Even, I don't know if you saw him talk about this. Did anybody see that? Do you see that, Dwayne? Or Mike?
When, today?
Yesterday.
No, I did not.
Well, he sat down with the news station and they went back and forth over it and he gave his apology. What really isn't quite an apology, though, it's very close to one, but it still isn't.
I think I heard that, but yeah.
You know, he apologizes that he just wasn't clear enough to the American people, as if the American people are the ones that misunderstood. But, you know, he was very clear to the American people, and he didn't tell the truth. That's what he did. But he couches it as if he just wasn't clear enough with the American people. No, he was very clear with the American people, and that's what got him in trouble. It's as if, you know, sorry, man, we just didn't get the truth out clearly. You know, we were speaking the truth, we just didn't get it out clearly. No, that's not what happened. You were not speaking the truth, and you got it out very clearly. That's what happened. So it's almost like apologizing for somebody misunderstanding you. You know, it's like, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, but I'm not sorry about what I said, or something. It's some weird, you know, mix. He just never really can come clean. He's got that in his political nature. Anyway, having said all that, the market has advanced and continues to be, and I think we'll all agree, inside a very powerful ongoing uptrend, and that for our outlook to be correct, for still multi-week decline to happen, we may need some good news in order for the market to go down a little more. So that's all.
What was the news this morning? We had, bad news on the... Michael, gone. We had some economic data out before the open, mm-hmm. and that's where that spike came from. And I'm not sure what it was now. I'd have to look at the Bloomberg or Dwayne's calendar, but
yeah,
I didn't check it this morning. I usually do, but I didn't this morning, but it appeared to be kind of important.
Mm-hmm. One last thing I would throw in that, to me, let's take the president at his word, he's really sorry that people misunderstood him or whatever he said, and or relied on his assurances. If he really is sorry, then he will fix that problem that people misunderstood, because people are suffering because of that. I think he honestly believes or partially believes that the hell they have to go through right now, including all the sick people who are losing their doctors and losing their insurance and can't sign up because the website doesn't work, all those people will ultimately, in the end, in his utopian vision, they'll all be happy and dancing in the streets, and we can play Dwayne's Everybody's Happy. That's what he sees in the future. So even though I'm causing you great pain right now, the future will be better. I'm very suspicious of those types of explanations. So... but those people should be made whole. The people who didn't know and voted for him, many of them are Democrat that voted for him based on this, should be made whole in this and should be able to keep their health care plan. Thank you. That's my show. Good night. I mean, he promised it. If you're sorry you did that, then give them their health care plan. But he can't do that because, if I'm correct, the 7 million people he needs signed up by March are these very people. The law itself forces the insurance companies to stop offering those plans because they're subpar plans, according to him and his cronies. And that means there's 15 million people. He only needs 7 of those to go into the exchanges. So I think they calculated out these people are going to be bumped out. So no matter what happens, it's a win-win deal. We'll get our 7 million people because we're bumping 15 million off the insurance. That's what I mean. How could they not say that? That's an obvious fact. They need those 7 million. And so he can't go back now and say, I'm sorry, and therefore you can keep your health care plan. But there are some bills that may go into Congress that are on both the left and the right, as far as I understand, that are saying, hey, you know what, we should either delay this out or these people get to keep their health plan or whatever. But they're not going to be able to keep their health plan because that would destroy... the whole plan has to be paid for by these people, and he still is propagating an untruth which is that these same people are going to be delighted when they see the cost of their new insurance. Well, every single person they've brought on TV, except for ones who are subsidized by others, are paying double. The Wall Street Journal and a Heritage Foundation, all these people did reports on this, and they said the average insurance cost for healthcare for people who are not being subsidized, it's 100% higher. So if you're paying $500 a month, you're going to pay $1,000 a month, and you'll be damn happy to do that.
One of the audiences, we were at the clinic today, and the financial counselor there mentioned that she was losing her job because of the new health care Obamacare plan. She said the clinic is laying off 30% of its staff to deal with budget cuts, which are a result of the new health care policy. And also there's a comment back to the Tesla. If there's a quarter-inch plate under that battery compartment, it would launch your car into the air before it would puncture, unless it was a roadside IUD. That's a 28-year stock car racer, demo derby guy's perspective, who is experienced in those matters. So, what are you suggesting that it might be? It goes on to say, it would be a one in a million shot to get the perfect angle to penetrate a quarter inch of steel three times.
Well,
okay, so what he's suggesting is that it's simply a design flaw.
Well, the two times, I don't know about the Mexico one, but the two times that have happened, the steel has been punctured. The first one, which was in California or Arizona somewhere, where the guy was driving, some piece of a car had fallen off and something, and he had rolled over it just, and it was a curved piece, and just the force of his speed and the way his tire hit it or whatever, it flung that thing up under the car, and it indeed punctured the steel. I mean, that's, they, you know, unless we're getting the reports incorrectly, it punctured the bottom of the thing. It got into the battery compartment, and it shorted things out and started a fire. That's been confirmed by Tesla. Now, I don't, obviously, I'm only reporting what I read about these things. So that was number one. Number two was the one in Mexico City where the guy's car was airborne. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. Airborne. His car really was airborne. He had done some poor driving under less than ideal conditions, i.e., he was drunk and at high speed, and his car was off the ground, and it landed on a retaining wall, and somehow, you know, that damaged the underside enough as well to cause that to start a fire. And then this one, he ran over a road jack of some kind. I'm not 100% sure about this, but it was some kind of either a tire jack or something else that was in the road. Somebody can read up on it real quick and maybe let us know. And it, the tire jack punctured, and it's almost, the fire is almost in the exact same spot, except on the right-hand side of the car instead of the left-hand side. So we've at least got two objects that are in the road that have punctured a quarter inch worth of steel. It's an amazing thing. That's what I was saying before. I agree with the writer. It's an incredible, perfectly timed set of events, but, you know, apparently those events happened. So,
Yeah, I think what he's suggesting is that perhaps there's more to the story that isn't being told. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I didn't realize it, but already the late night comedians are out and about on this. Bill S. shares, good news is you don't have to order your Tesla with an ashtray. It is an ashtray.
Oh.
You rascal.
Oh, well.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Mike, I know you got to go, buddy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Hey, Mike, great to have you on the program. Just chatting with
Take
you.
Care.
Nice talking to you. Yeah, catch you guys next week sometime.
We should talk sometime, Michael.
Let's do.
I mean, just for fun.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
shoot me your number. Mike at TradeStalker.com.
Okay, you got it.
Trying to get in touch with you. All right, you guys take care. Have a good week.
Have a great weekend, man. Say hi to Julie and the kids.
Thank you. Bye.
See you, Mike.
Bye.
Okay. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, one other thing. In through all this, there's actually more Chevy Volts right now on the road than there are Teslas. But there haven't been any fires in the Chevy Volt, and the Chevy Volt, it may happen, it could happen, but the Volt has a very different kind of battery layout, which isn't as practical as the Tesla, in the sense of leaving the interior car volume completely untouched. The Chevy Volt has sort of a T-shaped battery that starts from the front of the car and goes through the spine of the car, but therefore it's in the middle of the car in such a way that you'd have to have, I mean, you know, you could crash the car from both sides simultaneously and not even touch the battery in most of the car. So it's interesting that their engineering, I really am impressed with the Volt. I always have been, and I still have it. I have the Volt, and I have that little Chevy Spark. Both of these are fantastic cars, and you will be amazed if you go drive one at what the sensation, the feeling of the drive, and all that stuff is. It's just fantastic. But
another member of the audience says, I also raced stock cars for a time, and I believe that the steel is being bent up into the battery and puncturing it rather than steel plate.
Very good.
In other words, I agree with the other racer in the room. So
yeah, so maybe it's the way it's been reported or interpreted. The reality is that the steel is being bent into and crushing or doing something to the batteries that you know, disturbs them. And you know, this is, there's a lot of power in there. You know, that's ready to go.
Yeah.
So it's something like that. I know it's hard to believe. That was my first thing. It's incredible that there's a quarter inch of steel. But listen, people who have been driving around a track and know what these real forces are, you know, when you bang into a wall and you've actually lived through that, you've actually lived through having other cars hit you repeatedly time and time again, I'm with you. I'll take your word for it, because there's nothing like real experience. Like trading and like anything else, there's nothing like real experience. And it is difficult to believe that something on the road could puncture something like that. But I'll throw this at you as well. We have all seen, or many of us have, who are into motors and engines. I've seen engines dyno where the rods come right through the steel casing of the motor. Right, punch right through them and fly out of the motor or get stuck somewhere. You know, in my younger days.
I've heard of that. I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
I mean, I had a friend that had a dyno, a friend's buddy had a dyno shop, and they would dyno motors. And you probably can see something like that on YouTube somewhere. Now, a motor
probably
has a lot of force going on in it, too, but that is steel, and stuff just comes apart. And it's amazing what happens under those forces. But I agree 100%, and I would defer to them, the people that wrote in, having been in numerous car situations, wrecks, bang-ups, and so on, right with you. So it's very interesting. This industry has to get itself worked out just like any industry does, including the healthcare industry, we'll see how it all plays out. But there's probably 10 or more electric cars or semi-electrics, you know, plug-in electrics available now. So, you know, everyone's going to start knowing somebody. You know, in January of 2012, when I first picked up the Volt, there were already earlier adopters than me, and it was a freak thing to see one or to even talk to somebody. Now it's much more common. I think in the month of August, we had the highest number. I think it was 11,000 plus electric cars were sold in America. We didn't quite do that last month, but they're picking up steam. They're really doing well, and a lot of people are understanding the usage of them. Listen, the best you're going to get out of them is 100 miles on many of these. But for a city and commuter car, it's just beautiful. You know, I've been off gasoline since January of 2012. I've used 15 gallons in the Chevy Volt, and right now I'm driving the Spark, which is a pure electric, and I never fill up with gasoline at all. As a matter of fact, a really busy day in Las Vegas for me would be to drive 50 of the 100 miles available to me. And if I drive lightly, you can get more than 100 miles. And the really beautiful thing is you'll be grotesquely underestimated by people who are in nicer cars. And there's a lot of fun in that. I'm telling you. You'll see. Everybody thinks, I want people to look up to me. No, it's even more fun if they look down at you. Then you got something to work with. So
yeah, with this super typhoon that's hit the Philippines, it's, man, 200 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, this may be the biggest. Was that? Did I read that? The biggest storm ever?
I don't know. It could be. 200 mile an hour winds would be hard to beat. Right now they're 155 miles an hour, but they've been up to 200. It's going to hit Vietnam Sunday morning in the a.m., and it'll be up into mainland China by Tuesday in the a.m.
Well, that is incredible, and I wish all those people well before anything happens, but this is nature at work, and you better protect yourself. Get out or whatever is necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, in certain, you know, for us, if we're told, many of us, if we're told, hey, there's trouble coming, you know, get out, especially those of us here in America, we can do that. We can get in our car and drive away or buy a bus ticket or get on a plane. You know, many of us can. Some, of course, can't for whatever reason. But in areas that are already very economically troubled, like the Philippines, you might be told there's this storm coming, and you've got to hunker down because you don't have the option of escaping or getting away. You know, sometimes there might be, you know, some effort on the part of the government to run some buses and try to move some people out. But people who are living an existence, which is, you know, in America, we talk about people living paycheck to paycheck. You know, in many countries, people live meal to meal. It's that dour of an existence. And so many of these people might have loved to have gotten out, but, you know, they have to hunker down. They got to find something, some way, somewhere. And a typhoon, I don't know what you do. Do you dig a hole?
I don't know.
You know, I really don't know how you get out of the way of something like that, where you go, where you hide. I don't know.
One other thing. I had a tax – I've talked about this tax person that I had that called me up. I've been using him for a few years, and he called me up to tell me that he said, I've got fantastic news. And I thought he was going to win the lottery or something. I'll never forget this. And so he said, sit down. I want to tell you something fantastic. And I said, okay, I'm sitting. He says, I just had a complete sex change operation in the Philippines. It's like,
what?
I'm sorry, you have to be joking.
Are you
and
serious?
He said, no, yeah, yeah. I've told the story on the radio program before.
No, I think I would have remembered it. I don't know.
Oh, well, maybe I'm mistaken, but I had a tax guy who called me one day. I'd had him for a few years. Marta, the mother of my daughter, had been using him for her whole adult life. He was a big, burly guy with big mustache, and he called me. He was calling all of his customers. I didn't know at the time, but I thought maybe he had won the lottery and said, listen, you know, appreciate your business, but I couldn't imagine because he was so excited. And anyway, he picked up the phone, called me, and he said, I had an entire sex operation. I said, you're kidding, right? And he said, no. He says, no, I had the complete thing done, and I saved money to boot. It's like, I didn't know what to say because I had no idea that he had any of that going on. Anyway, he changed his name, and I know this is going to sound terrible, but just take me at my word. He looked better as a fake woman than he did as a man. if I had to say it, I would just say it that way. Anyway, the reason I'm mentioning this, though, is because he had a place in Vietnam and had pictures of Vietnam. I would go back and forth. I mean, these are the places where you get these operations for cheap. And I can tell you that I have never seen more tropical beauty anywhere else than in Vietnam. It's unbelievable. The things they have, the homes and the beautiful – these homes are floating on water. I mean, you're surrounded by water. It's incredibly beautiful. It really is.
I've been to the Philippines, but I've never been to Vietnam.
Yeah. No, I know you've been around, and I was going to ask you – if you had been to Vietnam,
no,
did you see this? But
the Philippines, I think, are climate-wise and terrain-wise, I think they're very similar.
Okay. Yeah. He had some beautiful, beautiful pictures. I mean, it was really like something out of a magazine to see these things. And so that whole area is going to – that's the area that's getting hit. So we'll track that and follow that along. It's a lot of power.
You know, that whole area through there, too, there's a tremendous amount of human trafficking. and kids sold into sexual slavery, and perverted Americans and Europeans and Germans. I don't know why they claim there's such a high percentage of Germans. I don't believe it, but that's what the survey says. And they go on these tours. It's like this guided tour where it's horrible.
Like Maps to Stars homes in Hollywood.
Yeah, except you're going to Vietnam and places like this, to spend time with little children. And it's just the most horrific thing I've ever heard of. And it's not some, unfortunately, it's just not some conspiracy theory, urban legend thing. It's a disgusting, truthful fact. And I know some people who are working in that area, to try to put a stop to some of this, but it's so rampant, and it's certainly not the children's fault. They're just caught up in it. These people are trying to help the kids escape and get out of there, and it gets pretty bloody because there's so much money involved. So, you pray for the children, and you pray for the sickos that want to go there and see and do these kinds of things, because, I mean, that's the enemy. That's the culprit is them. It's just like the drug trade, wouldn't exist if there wasn't people that wanted to take drugs. I mean, so anyway, let's move on to something brighter and a little more cheerful.
All right. Well, it's Friday. Mm-hmm. We get a couple days off here. Monday, we do have a sort of a partial, not holiday, but Veterans Day has some of the interest rate markets, or all the interest rate markets, and some of the foreign exchange, or all of the foreign exchange, closed. So
schools are closed, banks are closed.
Yeah,
post office is closed.
Okay. So that's I would rather the government just forego the entire Veterans Day holiday and simply take all that money and give it to the veterans. Give them, take care of the veterans.
Yeah, that's
all
a great
you hear
idea.
Is one horror story after another. About people who, honestly, and I don't want to get too into this because it's a very emotional subject for a lot of people, but there's people who've come back from war. They've had very grievous injuries. And whether you like him or not, Bill O'Reilly on his program has a thing where they've put together enough money, and they're taking donations, but they're also putting it together themselves to buy all these guys these specialized wheelchairs that allow them to have all kinds of extra mobility. They're really cool.
What's the organization called?
I'm not sure. You'd have to check it out. Check Bill O'Reilly and say War Veterans or something. But it's really a nice thing to do, and it's one of those things that you kind of scratch your head and think, well, how come these guys did an awful lot and sacrificed an awful lot for the United States of America? Why is the government not doing that? We have all this other stuff we can waste money on.
Mm-hmm.
How about shift some of it right over there? That's a really common theme with this government is they take really crap care of people who go to war. I mean, you'd think that they would do it the other way around. They don't. They'll give you a holiday, but they're just going to leave you, after that. The wounded veterans thing, or the war, what the commercials you see on
wounded
TV,
warrior,
that's another
wounded warriors.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's another
about.
Program. That's a program. That's not a government program. That's another private group that's trying to take care of these people. How come our government isn't doing that? What's that all about?
Now, I'm not old enough to remember, but I think, and maybe I'm wrong, so somebody that's old enough to remember, correct me. When soldiers came home from World War II, were they treated well? Was this mistreatment of the returning soldier, did this begin with the Vietnam War, or did it happen with the Korean War?
I'm not sure, but I can tell you that for most of my adult life, most of my adult life, I've heard about the mistreatment, the non-treatment, the neglect of people who the government sends to war, and they speak great lip service to them, but when they come back, there's nothing here for them. There's no real help and support. Or if there is, it's just a bureaucratic thing, like everything the government touches.
Well, you and I are only old enough to remember the fallout of the Vietnam War. We can't really remember. We weren't old enough to know how the returning Korean War veterans. So we had World War II, then Korean War, and then the Vietnam War. Now, an interesting comment here from one of our very regular listeners. As a veteran, the VA is a lot better now than under the last president. That's an interesting
I'm delighted
comment.
To hear that.
Tell us
delighted
how so. What sort of benefits have changed, if you don't mind sharing, just type in a couple. And take your time typing. We'll come back to you once you've put your answer in. So,
yeah. That's an area where I don't think you can waste. That's an area where I don't think there's going to be a lot of waste. I think there's enough to do. There's enough need and so on. That would be a wonderful thing if what he's saying is true, and I believe him. I'm delighted to hear that. I really am. So.
All right. Want to go to the market?
Sure. Let's take a quick look. Okay, so we talked about
Homer. Okay, hang on. Here we go. Homer just typed in the World War II vets were welcomed, and Homer was a pilot there, I believe.
Yeah, Homer's a pilot. And Homer's old enough to know, in good shape too, old enough to know.
Many vets started small businesses with the veterans in the same name with veteran in the name of the company. Okay, many vets started small businesses with vet in the name of the company, like Viet Cab Company. Or no, I'm sorry, like Vet Cab Company, as in veteran, not Viet as in Vietnam, no. So he's saying World War II, when they came back, they were treated very well.
Okay, good. Yeah, from all of my adult life, I've not heard that. I've heard the opposite.
Right, exactly. And then Keith says that under the current president, he has better access to specialties and more staff were hired.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. And I will publicly give this administration credit. If that's the truth, then that's a wonderful thing, because that is a place where you cannot waste. You know, you wouldn't be wasting money to put it into a program like that, obviously.
Yes.
So let's see. I was going to mention one other thing.
Donald says there's a place called Corvette's Department Store on the East Coast, and that it's spelled Korvetts, but that the vet comes from a guy returning from war with vet and putting vet in the company name. Corvette's Department Store. I've not heard of that, but I'm not an East Coaster, so.
Yeah. I was at a light and the guy had a sign, vet needs work, and I thought, okay, well, you know, so I said, you know, what's the problem? And he pointed over there, and it was like a 1972 Corvette, and it needed some work. So I got out and helped him. It's terrible. That's you just have to tolerate me as when you can. All right, let's get listen, I have friends that are much wackier than I am. I just want to say publicly, I know this is terrible, so women don't listen, but one of my friends, when the baby on board thing was a big thing, remember that? The bumper stickers, baby on board.
Yeah.
Great thing. You know, hey, drive careful around me. I've got a child on board. I get it. He took a baby doll and nailed it to a board and put it in his front seat and put a sticker on his car and said, baby on board. So when people would drive by, they would see a baby on a board.
Yeah, I get it.
That's, yeah. And you know who this is, Dwayne.
Oh, okay.
His name starts with a C.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, all right. All right, let's, so that's, you know, these are the kind of people that I associate with. I just want to be public and upfront about it. Let's see. So on the S&P, I don't have much else to add. We've had a tremendous rebound today off of that low, and the market is still very much technically inside an uptrend, and only in the world of forecasting, from our perspective, do we believe that we may see or should see the multi-week decline and so on. In our particular case, because we did get down and did finish the initial target of 1736, that lets us, you know, now that puts a lot of relief in those that were in this trade on the short side, so that a rally like this, although uncomfortable to see the market come back up, it does not have the same effect as when you have your whole position on. That's one of the reasons, like, I really like the multiple contract thing, because it does give you a psychological release valve to get some of your contracts off when they either hit a target or go to a certain point that you think is a good number. And I do it all the time. It's a very important part of my release, you know, in terms of emotionally when you're in the market with a position, you can relax some. because you've booked some and you don't have as much risk on the table and so on. We've all been through that. It can be very useful to have that and have those points known in advance if you can, or maybe you're trend following it and you get stopped out, you know, with whatever the gain is and you still are holding some. But whatever it is, it releases you and it's a nice point in the trade. This is a particularly good, this is a particularly strong advance. This is a pretty good rebound, especially given the short period of time. But I've been around markets for more than a couple of weeks, and I've seen a lot of very powerful, short-lived but powerful advances get completely retraced over a short period of time. Not forecasting that's going to happen right here and right now, but this is a very fast advance. This is a lot of points in a very short period of time. Ain't no two ways about it.
Yep. From the swing high yesterday to the swing low today, right now we're at a 62% retracement of that entire move down. So, I mean, it's not – well, if we were to pop up 11 points here, we're at 60, 61. I mean, 71, 72, that would put us right back where we were at the high yesterday.
Yeah.
So – it's a Friday afternoon, but again, I used to say, oh, it's Friday afternoon, it's going to be quiet, nothing's going to happen. I don't say that anymore because I've seen a few Fridays where things happened, and, man, I was just scurrying around looking for the news, what's the reason, why is this, and there wasn't any.
It just happens.
It just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Things just happen, and nothing ever is always exactly the same in the markets. There's a lot of good things that you can rely on and all that, but nothing's ever the same. The market's as big as life and squeezed into three different movements. You know, all that diversity squeezed into three different movements that the market can do. True, actually, up and down and sort of visually sideways. So... but how it plays out, how history, you know, kind of repeats in the market. You know, history repeats. We know that it does. There's even sayings. What's the saying? Those that are doomed, only those that don't know that
those
history repeats are doomed to repeat it.
Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. That's actually, I think, what it is. And the markets in their own peculiar way have a way of doing that as well, don't they? They kind of have a way of repeating history. You know, we're not going to have another Adolf Hitler under the name of Adolf Hitler who does the things that he did. But his force will repeat. His time and space movement, the thing that he did, is that wave will reflect back. You know, that's the theory of reflected wave. It will return, and it will show up and express itself. That same energy will express itself in another way, but it is basically history repeating. It's just not going to be under the name of Adolf Hitler and with those specific events, but it might be in quite a, certainly would be in quite a different way. But so history does repeat. The markets do repeat history, but not in the normal sense of saying, well, back here they went from a high to a low, and that means up here they're going to go. It's not that easy, probably, and obvious of how the history of markets repeat because they have somewhat of the same thing going for them, that energy is going to play out differently this time than last time in many, many cases. So, but I am a believer, you know, because it's, I don't know that it can be proven. I do believe that we all send out a wave in our daily life, in our living. In the Eastern religions, they think of this as karma, and that wave travels somehow a certain distance and then comes back. And you have to interact with your own wave. And that is why it's important for you to know, you know, have some idea of what it is you're sending out. You know, a very hateful person, a person is very angry at life and very, we all get angry, we all have our moments of hate and so on, but a person whose life is characterized by it is sending out an awful lot of negative energy that does come back to him. And then the funny thing is that coming back is interpreted by them as life hurting them. And they say, see, I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be upset and depressed because look at what's happening to me. And the funny thing is that they are the ones themselves that are continuing to send out energy that is going to ultimately come back in that form. In different forms, it plays out in different ways. Same thing. And they...
Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
Right. And there it is. That's essentially what it is. So, you know, I would tell you, try to not, you know, try to not be angry, because that's not a good way out of anger. I wouldn't tell you try to be loving, because that's not a good way out of hatred. I would tell you to become very aware of what your actual state really is, as opposed to what you might think about yourself. We all have ideas about ourselves and so on. Try to see the fact that you really are angry, or that you really are jealous, or that you really are upset, and see it just as a fact. That doesn't require you to do any interpretation other than to see it as a fact. By doing that, that starts the healing process for me. The healing process is interrupted every time you don't see it for the actual fact that it is, and you call it something else. Like, as an example, I've used this before because I've seen it myself, where you do something nice for somebody and you walk away saying, I'm a nice person, or you, in some way you are giving yourself the props for being a nice person, that you're spiritual, or you're this or that or whatever. But in reality, if you're just able to see the facts, for me, in many cases, many of the nice things I've done are out of weakness, the inability to say no, as opposed to actually doing it out of niceness. It's actually out of weakness. It's not out of niceness. Niceness has nothing to do with it. Niceness doesn't have weakness in it. So, that's a good example of a person blocking his own healing by not catching the lie that this is really me. I just said yes to this person because I'm weak. I didn't know how to say no. And now I'm patting myself on the back for being nice and spiritual. No, you're just weak. You know, not you, but in my case, me. But we all have this. We all have these various things. And I've learned and I've seen over time, if you will watch that and just be straightforward, just plain old self-honesty. It doesn't have to be called, there's no other mystical side to it. It's just plain old self-honesty. You will see that that has an incredible healing force on you, because you're no longer reinterpreting it to keep the story going. You've suddenly just dropped it and are starting to live a life of seeing things as they actually are. And on that foundation, very good things start to happen. And not good things like you get a check in the mail. Good things meaning your understanding and your ability to deal with things and so on. And all of that is much better than getting a check in the mail, because these things will help you in day-to-day life, every day, and so on. There's so much more you can say about it, but it's very important, I think, for people to see themselves as they really are, not as you imagine yourself to be. And it sometimes is embarrassing, because I've seen the embarrassment myself. It's like, God, I really want to think of myself this way, but I really know I did this or said this because of this or that or the other. I just had an incident the other day where I had the opportunity in a conversation with somebody to kind of take charge in a way that I shouldn't have. I don't know how to verbalize it other than that. And I knew I could feel it coming up, and I still kind of did it. And there was the part of me that wanted to defend it and say, well, no, that was you really being Mr. Nice or Mr. Dynamic or whatever. No, it was really just plain old egotism. I had an opportunity, and the wrong part of me just grabbed it and ran with it. Well, by seeing it and not doing anything with that, just saying, what is the actual thing? That actually relieves all the tension of having all the fight, of having to defend that to yourself. You're not in this tearing up fight inside your head trying to defend yourself to yourself, and you've come clean. And that coming clean relaxes you from that need to do it the next time. It propels you forward. So there really is something with those basic, good old, decent honesty, self-honesty. There really is something to that. And if you'll mm-hmm. practice that a little bit, you'll see it really makes a difference in your life. It'll change you, and that changes the world. And it's an amazing thing. Anyway, Dwayne, do you have anything you want to cover on the S&P?
I think we've already covered it. We've made our way up to this zone. Mike and I talked about this little area overhead that could be good resistance. We've already touched that area. And then over that, we both had a number which was at the high, 71.72. So that's about it. It's Friday afternoon. From here, we're at the zone. We're either going to attempt to go to 71.72. or will attempt to go to 54.55. Being Friday and with only a few hours left to trade, what's the chance of us getting that far? I would be very surprised if we could break above this little area right here.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if we retrace back down, we've got 8 minutes left in this candle. It would not surprise me to see this candle reverse and come down and close back under 60, and then it would just kind of glide sideways into the close. I'm not looking for anything big, but mm-hmm. I'm also accepting that anything can happen. So I'm not going to be putting a trade out today, guys. This will be the first day in over a week that I haven't given you a trade during the show. I just don't see one that I'm real comfortable with, and so we're just going to pass. So,
okay.
What market do you want to go to?
Well, I was just going to say, did any of those zones have the word twilight in front of it?
Mm-mm, not these.
Oh,
well, actually,
these.
They all do. No. Okay.
All right. All right, let's see. Let's go around real quick, take a look at some of the other markets and things. We've really, I have to say, and I think a lot of people will agree, there's been a lot of unusual movement this week. The currencies just went completely nuts, and all kinds of stuff happened. Really good movement, actually, in some cases, but good surprise movement. Was that Bert Schlichter from Daniel's Trading, 866-928-3310, that I just heard in the background?
Yeah. I didn't.
There he was. I heard him. I heard you, Bert.
I was sneaking around. Didn't think you guys would hear me.
I got you.
Yeah, not much. All quiet now.
Yeah.
Well, what is your take on all this? Was this a highly unusual? Do you feel like this week had a lot of big unusual movement?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's been kind of choppy a little bit, but we've had some pretty erratic moves. So.
Yeah, currencies, the euro and the dollar breaking out from their levels. Look at what the bonds did this week.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, that kind of stuff. Just really incredible, very fast moves, which would require you to obviously use a stop because if something like that happens, and it can happen. I mean, we were long in the dollar and short in the euro, or short in the dollar, I think is what it was, and long in the euro. And these moves happen. And if it wasn't for protective stops, we would have been in all kinds of problems, all kinds of trouble, like 10-year-old trading type of trouble. You know, 10-year-old for me, 10 years ago for me type of trading trouble. And, you know, it's just such a pleasure to not have to be afraid of the market because you've set everything out. You've put it all out there and you know what your risk is. To one degree or another, you basically know what your risk is. It's pretty much contained. There are going to be big moves that can slip your stops and so on. But for the most part. And that frees you up to really keep your energy good and have a good vision for your next trade and all that. But yeah, a lot of unusual movement. The bonds, euro.
This is the bonds
the
right
dollar.
Here. It went. The bonds
yeah,
went
see
from.
That big move. There it is. Look at that.
Weekly trading zone up here at 134.10/12. We hit that to the tick this morning. And then we dropped across 1, 2, 3, and this is a really big zone here, mm-hmm. all the way down to 22/24, and here we sit. It's been very quiet. We brought this up at the beginning of the show today, and here we sit. So,
mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that was
just an amazing week.
What was that tied into? The bond move. What do you tie that into? Anything? He's gone.
Bert's interest is very limited. He just wants to,
yeah.
You know, he can't keep his interest
right
focused.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's interesting. We're going to keep an eye on that. The gold market, let's take a quick look at that. Now, for those of you that took a trial anywhere in the last 2 weeks of our Williams Edge product, you know that back on the week of October 21st, we forecast that the week of October 28th would mark a top in gold for a move down, a total move down to $1,272. That's 90 points. And today they got down to $1,280.50, just $8 off that. That's like a $9,000, you wouldn't get all that, but that's $9,000 per contract worth of movement in gold. And that happened in 2 weeks. And that's on the downside. That's one of the reasons people like to speculate or to
set a lot of their trades into motion on the short side, because in so many cases, bigger amounts of movement happen in shorter periods of time. It's easier to hold on to the trade and sold on, so on. So this is a great example of that, that the market has had this big move down of almost 90 points. It's 82 points now in just 2 weeks in gold. And so this is a good example of a longer-term trade that could really pay off. And we're not necessarily done yet, but they're trading right now at 1284. But that's coming down from 1362. Pretty big move. At this point, we have no new forecast for the gold market, except that it's likely we're going to see lower prices before we're done here. And then we'll probably have some new setup here. But as it stands right now, this was a good example of simultaneous weekly tops. We had the weekly top forecast for October 28 in the S&P for multi-week decline. We had a October 28th weekly top in gold for multi-week decline. And that's something
that we're relying on. Hey, David, could you carry the conversation here for just a couple minutes?
I could. Please,
and
I will.
Would you want the charts by any chance?
Well, I could. I could take them as long as you promise to take them back so I'm not stuck with them for the whole darn shooting match.
Well, I'm going to be probably at least 5 minutes.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Let's just hand them over. Hand them over to me. I got them.
All right. You got them?
I'll do it. Yeah, I do. Thank you very much. Let's take a quick you should be able to, in a minute here, see these charts, and let's go
yep.
over them.
I got them.
Okay, so let's
right
go through.
Back.
A lot of okay, thank you very much. This is on the left here. This is the S&P. This is on a 240-minute chart, and you might say, why use a 240-minute chart? And it's no magic number. It's just a time frame that is used, that we do use in some of our work to quantify a force that's at work in the market on a particular time frame to be able to measure it. That's a better way of putting it. So this is essentially one time frame down from the daily, a 240-minute. So on the S&P in Williams Edge, this is the one we talked about. Might as well go right over them here. When the market was topping at 770 on November 6th, which was back over here, we're forecasting that the market would decline to 1736 as an initial move down. And look, they went right to 1736.50 here. This was a forecast given out. Anybody in Williams Edge knows about it. This kind of trade often is very fast because it's on the downside. And I'm hoping to, as we said before on the S&P, let's just sort of re-go over them. I'm hoping to see, and I hate to use that word hope, but it is what it is. We're hoping to see further sideways action and then a further decline lower, not necessarily the way I'm drawing it out, but lower to numbers like down here before it's all over. And that's why our members are looking at the S&P with the idea of still selling short. But we do have a daily reflected wave bottom that occurred today on the 8th, so we would normally expect a multi-day bounce. They've chewed up a lot of the movement that would normally occur in a number of days in one day. That has meaning. So we'll continue to watch that and see how that plays out. I've got a few others here if you want to see. We'll show them. This is an E-mini trade that we took today in Messenger Pro. This was prior to the breakout. So when the market was earlier at 1749, we were shorting at 1749.50. They went up to 50.25. We got out at 1744, which is just a couple ticks off the bottom. Much better trade would have been to go long going up here, but I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming. So we were only trading on the short side against today's rally. So that's just the nature of the beast. You just can't know it all. Couple others. We were long. Let's go over a couple of these. We attempted to be long in the Australian dollar a few days back in Williams Edge, trying to buy at 94.35. They went to 94.38. We really weren't in this trade, but look what happened. You know, we've had a much big decline. We would have been stopped out of this had we not used stops. Look where we'd be. We'd be down here saying, I sure hope they come back for a break even. You just can't do that. Don't do that. Do not do that. I don't want to go too far back, but this is sort of a recap for the week. We had our gold decline that we talked about a few days ago, where we were up here on November 4th, forecasting that the market would go straight back down to 1305 into November 6th. We got that. The market bounced off that. I was tempted, and I really believed there was a real possibility that we would see further advance. But I didn't like the way they acted, and I'm glad we didn't. I mean, it could have been a bad trade, but honestly, I was close to going along there. But because in the gold forecast we had a larger forecast underway for deeper prices down to 1272, I wasn't as excited about buying this bottom. So that kept me out of it, and I'm glad it did, because this is today. And today's low, as I said, is 1280.50. This 1272 level down here is really where we're talking about, where they would normally try to go in this bigger decline off of the week of October 28th. Let's see. Then we had the, again, this is a full week of this. So we had a dollar index trade earlier this week, looking for a decline, selling short at 80.78 and exiting at 80.55. This was just a forecast for a fast trade line to move. They went up to 80.76 within two ticks of our selling territory and dropped to 80.57 within two ticks of our exiting. So only aggressive people probably were able to take advantage of that. In the middle here, we had another dollar trade. This was back on the third, 80.78 to 80.82 selling territory. We exited some at 55. We were holding. The market stopped us out right about here on the way up. Had we not been utilizing a protective stop in this trade, and this was a successful trade, we made profit because we had two exits on the way down. We had our third here. This is where the dollar is now. Who needs that? Who needs that junk in their life? Not me. Not you. This is the crude oil trade. This was back over here when we made the forecast October 28th that any daily close below 96.50 would decline to 92.70. Sometimes these commodities, they just don't quite reach their natural level. This one hasn't yet. We did get the daily close here, 96.24. Williams Edge shorted right at that price, somewhere in that area, and the market declined to 93.07. So the question now is what do we do with this? And just today, and I'm sorry that I can't go into it because this is new subscriber stuff, but just today we talked about what our next move in this would be, and we're going to take it probably on Monday. So, and obviously the question is do we head lower from here? I'll try to draw it in. If we head lower in here, do we complete 92.70 or lower, or do we have a further bounce coming? Maybe we have this coming and then a down. So we're not sure, and we're going to wait until Monday. That's a really good thing to know. Sometimes you just don't know, and you have to wait and just say, I don't know. That's all. And we'll see. Let's give them into Monday before we do something. But we do have a setup for that. One other thing that happened this week is we were long the bonds. We had bought the bonds, and about seven ticks later, I realized I didn't like this position, and we got out of it. And that is a very important part of trading. It can happen. It doesn't really matter how much you know. You can't know it all, and you just have to practice what you preach. And that means, you know, practice your entries, but also protect yourself. And that's what happened here. Good thing we're out of that, because after advancing, this is what happened. And if we were in this, we would have to be waiting and saying, well, we'll hold and hope for them to come back. And you know how all that goes. That doesn't end up too well. There's a few other things here that we've done this week. But we had a busy week because there's a lot of volatility in the market. Here's the euro trade. Buy euro, December euro at 134.90 to 134.75. This was on the 5th. We bought it. We got some nice move up to 135.38. And then we were stopped out of this, right about here. This was a successful trade. It would have been a successful even if we had broken even, but in this particular case, we had two exits, and our third was stopped out with, so we were ahead. Here's what happened to that market. So you can see that it doesn't matter, you know, there's no magic that's going to protect you. The best thing you have, it's almost like in every other area of your life, solve problems on the front end. In other words, you know, if you're going to rent a house to somebody, check out your renters, because if you put the wrong people in, the trouble starts from there. You could have solved it on the front end. Solve your problems on the front end. If you're going to trade, how do you solve your problems on the front end? By carefully selecting your trade, trade selection. Wait for the stuff to line up. Be willing to miss trades. Put it all together the best way you can. Use protective stops. If you do all that, chances are that even if you're wrong, like you saw ultimately, like we did here and in the dollar, in many cases you can actually make money while being ultimately wrong about the trade. But that's where I think the problems are solved, are on the front end, not on the back end. Amateurs try to solve the problem on the back end, don't they? They say, okay, it's against me, but I'm just going to hold now because I think they're going to bounce from here and, you know, go to my break even or God knows what. We've all done it. That's how you solve problems here, up front. Anyway, that's basically everything that we had during the week, and I will invite you, if you want to come in, any of you to come in, you can give us a call. Our toll-free number, 888-231-4702, and we'll put you in this for next week here. Thank you, Dwayne. And you can take a look at some of these larger trades and see if they fit your risk profile and all that.
And guys, I'm going to have to head out as well. I've got a little situation here to take care of. And so, David, I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you very much. You too, Dwayne, and everyone else, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday, and I hope everything's all right on your end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll be fine. All right. Thanks so much. Okay. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
All right, guys. Sorry to take off on you so quick here, but a little something just got to take care of. And I will see you all on Monday. We will be here for the show on Monday and also for the live trading room. So it is the weekend. Be sure and spend some quality time with your family. And, of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.